Well, we continue today in week four of our five-week series through the book of Proverbs. I hope you are reading along with us every day. Today is October the 22nd, so we should be reading Proverbs chapter 22. If you are reading a chapter a day, please be reminded that you can go to the Realm Church app, the Realm app, and you can follow along by video there. You can go to our Facebook page and watch a different person from our church read that every single day. It has been a joy to read along with people from multiple generations together, from children, teenagers, adults, young adults, median adults, senior adults. It's been a wonderful journey together, so we invite you to finish that out with us over the next few weeks. But today, or next week and a half, excuse me. Today, we will be in Proverbs chapter 24. So if you will turn to Proverbs chapter 24, you'll be reading this passage in 2 days if you're reading with us. As you're turning, let me share with you a little illustration. Newton's first law of motion states that an object in motion tends to remain in motion. And an object at rest tends to remain at rest. There's a little gadget. I have a small version of it right here. This is called Newton's cradle. You may have seen one on the desk of someone somewhere at some time. They were very popular a few years back, and people had them as little toys and gadgets to keep their attention when you needed a little break from your work, possibly. You might have one in your home. But a Newton's cradle illustrates this idea, and it is the basic idea that movement will continue. Now, you can stop it, of course, and you can start different ones, but we want to get the idea that motion continues to take place once motion begins until something stops that force. Action motivates action. Inaction motivates inaction. That is not only true of matter, as illustrated by this little gadget, it is also true of people. And so naturally driven people tend to complete projects and be driven. Now, don't be offended by what I'm going to say next, but lazy people require motivation to take action. Now, I didn't say you were lazy, and don't elbow the person next to you if that's them, but some of us, all of us at some time or another can be lazy in certain areas of our lives, at some form or another. Now, there are those that are plagued with that in all aspects of life, but most of us, maybe it's just one or two small areas. And it's not a simple way of life. Well, no book of the Bible dedicates more time to the idea of laziness than the book of Proverbs. And so we're going to talk about this today. Proverbs chapter 24, beginning in verse 30. So let's look together there. I am sweating up here, and it's not because it's so hot, but this happens every time we baptize. It's the Lord's way. If more of you would get saved and would get baptized, I'd lose weight. So help me out, people. This is pretty much your fault. But anyway, what I would say to you is this. It's like a sauna in there, nice and warm, and it carries the core temperature on. So I'm dying. If the deacons really love me, Benny Fraser on the back row, you turn the air on. But don't do it. These people here wouldn't appreciate it. But whatever, we'll keep going. Proverbs chapter 24, beginning in verse 30. Listen to this. I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense. And behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. Verse 32. Then I saw and considered it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. Now you may have heard that verse, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest already, if you've been reading this month. It's repeated a couple of different times in the book of Proverbs. It's an important statement. This word sluggard you find here in chapter 24, it is used 14 times in Proverbs. And every time it is used, it is not a good thing. None of you need your nickname to be sluggard, okay? Just so you understand. Let me give you a few examples. You don't have time to turn here, but you can write these down to look at later. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 26. Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. Proverbs 19, 24. The sluggard buries his hands in the dish and will not even bring it back to his mouth. Friends, you got to be pretty lazy to bring your hand to the dish and not be able to bring the food back up, okay? Proverbs 20, verse 4, the sluggard does not plow in autumn. He will seek at harvest and have nothing. Proverbs 21, 25, the desire of the sluggard kills him, for his hand refuses to labor. Proverbs 22, 13, one of my favorites, the sluggard says, there is a lion outside, I shall be killed in the streets. That's the same excuse as saying the dog ate my homework. That is one of those where we basically say, I can't go out and work. There could be a lion out there. It might kill me. Friends, excuse after excuse from the sluggard. Proverbs 26, 14. As a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. You picture the creaking of the door, the going back and forth, the idea of a sluggard who cannot get out of his bed. What beautiful and creative imagery. I would say that the Lord has made his point well concerning sluggards. Don't be one. That's the basic point there. This passage is about more than the word sluggard. It is really about neglect. So can I ask you a personal question right here at the beginning of today's message? What area of your life is being neglected? Now, I can think about my own life, and it doesn't take me but just a couple of seconds to come up with two or three areas in my life quickly that I know have seen some neglect from me. And I would encourage you right now, at the beginning of this message, before we even see what we're to do with that, would you join me in asking the Lord to reveal to you if there's an area of your life that has been neglected? It could be your time with the Lord. It could be being in God's word. It could be serving in some capacity. It might be with your finances that you have made some neglect. It could be in caring for your family. It could be husbands and how you treat your wife. Maybe there's some neglect in the time and love and concern and service that you have provided for her. Wives, it could be with your husbands, parents to children, in the workplace, any number of places. I don't know what it is for you, and it may not be anywhere, but in a room this size, it's more than just me that has found a couple of areas of their life that have some neglect. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask God to reveal to you and to me areas of our life that have been neglected. Would you join me in praying very quickly? Father God, it is my simple prayer that I ask that your Holy Spirit would work in the hearts of each person in this room, those that are watching online, those that will listen on the radio, and that you will help us to understand and to be able to discern what areas of our life have received some personal neglect. Father, for areas that deal with your word, that deal with this faith family, that deal with our personal family, that deal with the workplace, that deal with our physical health, whatever it may be, would you show us today where in our lives maybe we have been showing some signs of neglect? Speak to us today, Father, and we will listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's unpack this passage together. Proverbs 24, beginning in verse 30 again. I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense. Simply put, it does not make sense to be lazy. That is what the scripture is saying. Every action has a consequence. The sooner we learn this truth, the better. Every action you take has a consequence. Let me give you some examples. Distracted driving will eventually cause a wreck. How many of you, like me, don't go a single week without driving beside some lunatic on Highway 431 who is trying to text while they're driving down the road? How many of you have seen that? Well, what you should do, I don't know, I'm going to tell you what to do. Let's just keep going. But anyway, you pray for them. How about that? But that distracted driving will eventually cause a wreck. It will do so. There will always be an end to that action at some point. Sticking your hand on a hot stove will do what? It'll cause you to get burned. It will do so without fail. You won't put your hand on a hot eye of a stove and not get burned at some point. One that hits home to me, taking in lots of food and no exercise will negatively affect your health. It will do it every time. Now, we might think there are some exceptions in some people, but here's what I've learned, and now, no offense, because some of you have the metabolism that is amazing, and I can look at food and gain weight, and some of you can eat anything and not gain weight, but those of you that can eat anything and not gain weight, just because you're skinny, doesn't mean you're healthy. Ha ha. Anyway, that's another, for what that's worth, there's no bitterness there in me. I didn't even look at anybody when I said it. I'm looking down, so... You know who you are. Okay, so what I would say, though, is actions lead to consequences. We see that in our lives. We could keep going with illustration. There's not a parent in the room who hasn't taught that to your children in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Why? Because you love them. And I think God's word shows us that our actions have consequences. Why? Because God, the creator of the universe, loves his creation. And he wants us to learn from that. And so what we would understand is that actions lead to other actions. Laziness leads to ruin. It will eventually ruin your lifestyle. It can ruin your health. It can ruin your work status. It can ruin your testimony. Friends, we all have more sense than that. We truly do. Look at verse 31. And behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. Now, nettles is a fancy word for weeds, is what that means. So we would find weeds all in the ground. The lazy person has not prepared his field for production. Now, remember the original audience of this passage. These were farmers. These were people that dealt with animals and dealt with farming. Basically, they were a society that depended on their ability to grow things and to raise things. In other words, they ate it because they grew it or because they grew something to trade for it. So for them to hear this verse that, behold, the land was overgrown with thorns, the ground was covered with nettles, its stone wall was broken down, they understood that that meant if you did not prepare and tend your fields, your life would be drastically affected. Friends, can I say to you, if you do not prepare and tend the soil of your life will be drastically affected in a negative way. So my simple question today is this: how do we prepare the soil of our life? How do I prepare the soil of our lives? First, here's some things if you're writing them down. First of all, tend the garden every day. That sounds simple enough, but I think I shared with you all something that happened to me many years ago when I was youth pastor here. We had a pretty good-sized backyard, and I decided as a young adult that Lily and I had never done so. We wanted to have a little garden of our own, and so I mentioned that one day to Mr. Billy Gore. Mr. Billy Gore has been with the Lord now for quite a while, and was just a godly man. I loved that man and just loved the Lord and exuded Jesus in his life. And he heard me say that one day, so he said, well, I'll take care of that. So he brought his tractor over and plowed out a little plot. I could have done it with a tiller, but he took care of it with something bigger much quicker and plowed out and got the soil ready. He prepared it for me to plant a beautiful garden. But the problem was, I had forgotten as a youth pastor, life gets so busy and summertime's the busiest time with teenagers and all. And so this beautiful ground that he prepared for me, I never planted anything. And it got neglected and neglected. And by the time to harvest things, I had the most beautiful crop of weeds you've ever seen in your life. And I felt so embarrassed to tell him after he had done the work to prepare the field that I didn't do anything to tend the garden. I didn't even plant things to make that happen. And so there was the end of my gardening career, to be quite honest, but we tried. But the truth was, in that moment, I was reminded that if we don't tend the garden, if we don't get rid of the weeds, I figured out quickly I had some fertile soil. It grew weeds like nobody's business. It could have grown some crops as well. So let me ask you about tending your garden. What hindrances to the Holy Spirit are you allowing to take root in your life? Let me give you some examples. In your life, as you tend the garden, is there impurity there? If you allow it to take root, it will sprout up a crop. Anger. Is there anger towards someone? I have learned that anger is unlike any other crop. It reaps a harvest that multiplies. And so put anger in, it will come out as rage, and it will just come out multiplied. Apathy, maybe jealousy, maybe fear, maybe guilt. I tell you, when someone allows guilt to take root in their life and they plant that in the soil of their life, it seems to multiply over and over, and it paralyzes people. And I have found that guilt leads to fear. It leads to anger. It leads to all of these other things. And so what about you? All of these have the ability to hinder the work of the Holy Spirit in your life and in mine. So I would say to you, as the scripture says, tend the garden. Pull the weeds. It goes on to say in that verse, and its stone wall was broken down. If you have a stone wall and it's broken down, that opens the door for intruders. So the next way we can really tend the garden of our life is look for signs of intruders. Look for signs of intruders in your life and mine. What will that look like? Sometimes it's not as obvious as you might think it would be. When you're preparing your soil and you look for intruders, it simply means look for warning signs in your life. Look for warning signs. Let me give you some warning signs that you can look for. A dusty Bible. If you have a Bible that doesn't get open very often, that is a warning sign. It is an alarm going off to let you know your soil is going to need some tending and there's a problem coming. Maybe for you it's that Bible app that's not been opened on your phone since last Sunday when you were sitting right here. Listen, that's a warning sign that we needed to make sure we keep intruders out of our lives. Maybe it's those feelings of anger or resentment every time you see someone or someone mentions that person's name. There's something in you, in the back of your mind, in the back of your heart that just wells up and no one else knows it. It's all internal, but you think it, you feel it. That's a warning sign that there's a problem in the soil of your life. Maybe for you, it's indecision. You can't make a decision because of fear. You can't make a decision because of apathy. If that's the case, if you find yourself being totally indecisive, I would encourage you to stop and ask, is that a warning sign from God that I have some lack of trust or lack of relationship that is growing with Him? Maybe it's growing impurity in your life. What I have learned is that sin, whatever it is, will never be enough. More will always be required. The walls will be broken down, and once impurity comes in, it brings friend after friend after friend. You say, well, how do I know if I'm struggling with that? I would encourage you, do a sensitivity test. Ask yourself this question. Think about something that bothered you a year ago when it was said, done, or whatever the case might be. And now a year later, when the same thing is said or done or a part of your life, it doesn't bother you at all. What have you grown numb to in your life? Over time, it's as if the broken down wall has become comfortable and natural in your life. Whatever that is, I would encourage you to stop and to recognize what's happening in the soil of your life and then begin to pull the weeds. Make the change. So the best way to tend the soil is to do those very things, to tend the garden, look for signs of intruders. And then third, if you're writing things down, repair the broken walls. It talks about it there in the verse that the walls were broken down. I would encourage you then to do exactly what it would tell you to do, and that is repair the wall. One of the best ways you can do that is not just to say, God, I want to get rid of this, but what do we want to replace it with? I have a little tool that I would like to give you today before you leave, if you would like one. I have actually given this handout to our congregation before a few years back, but it's a powerful one that I keep handy in my life, and I would encourage you. It comes from Life Action Ministries. It's one of their revival handouts, and it is a booklet that has, it lists 78 different areas in our lives where we need to live out what the scripture would tell us to put off certain things, but to put on the replacement of that. And so what you can do is use this as a way to go through and check in your own life areas of concern. For example, it tells you to put off this and to put on the opposite. And it's full of scripture. You don't need my opinion. What we need is what God's word says. And so this tool you can take today will help you with God's word. Let me just read a few of these to you. If you have been struggling with judging others in a negative way, it's going to lead you to Matthew chapter 7, and it will tell you to put that off in your life. But then it will lead you to John chapter 8 and John chapter 15, where you will then ask God to search your heart and put on the good things of him. If you've been struggling with bitterness, it will lead you to Hebrews chapter 12, where it will encourage you to put off that root of bitterness, but in doing so, to put on a spirit of being tender-hearted and forgiving, as it tells us in Ephesians chapter 4. If you've been dealing with pride, in Proverbs 16, it will tell us to put that off. James chapter 4 will encourage us to humility. If you've been struggling with disrespect for authority, it's going to take you to the book of Acts and ask you to put that off. And then Hebrews 13 will teach us to honor authority and how to put it on. On and on we can go, subject after subject, that we can look and see. If you struggled with lying, it's going to teach us how to speak the truth from God's word. If you've struggled with laziness, it will teach us about diligence. If you struggled with idolatry, it will teach us about worshiping God only. If we struggle with worry, it will teach us about trust. If we struggle with not having a burden for the lost, it will teach us about having compassion and sharing the gospel. On and on. So if you would like a copy of this, they are available at the welcome desk right outside the door. Before you leave, you'll see them there. We would invite you to take one as your gift. But we have also already placed it on our Realm app, right under the First Baptist group page. There's a file. It's the only file in there. You can have that digitally to look at anytime you want on your phone, your tablet, or your computer. We just encourage you to take a look at that. Use that resource, because it's important that I let you know, no matter what I say to you, tips and techniques that I might give you, none of that matters if it cannot be founded in the Word of God. And so this is totally going to take you to the Scripture and help us to be able to dive into the Word of God and what it would tell us, how our lives can be transformed by the power of God in our lives. Repair the broken wall. So, what's the bad news today? The bad news is this: we all have weeds from time to time. The good news is this: if weeds can grow in your soil, that means crops can grow as well. Because if a weed can grow, a crop can grow. So the tools we need to begin to see our lives produce the fruit, the harvest of what God wants to do in us, I would say, is the Word of God, a personal relationship with him, and an understanding of our own weakness. Let's keep going in the passage real quickly. Verse 32 of the same passage. Then I saw and considered it. I looked and received instruction. He considered it after what he saw. He received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. Friends, I would encourage you, if you're going to read God's word, if we're going to tend the soil of our lives, we have to first be willing to receive instruction. We have to be willing to receive what God wants to teach us. He received it. Will you? Would you be willing to take God's word and go through it and use it, allow him to use it like a delicate surgical instrument, reminding us of things we need to remove, reminding us of things we need to replace, making us more into his image, helping us understand what it means to be totally transformed by the power of his Holy Spirit? And then at the end of that verse, it says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. What does that mean? Put in simple terms, laziness invites the enemy's attack. It just does. Laziness invites the enemy's attack. So what steps can you and I take today from what we've discussed, from this passage in Proverbs, these five or six incredible verses that teach us a beautiful word picture? What can you and I do? What are our steps? Here they are, just a couple really quickly. First of all, examine the soil of your life. Are you a follower of Jesus? Do you have a personal relationship with the King of the world? I would encourage you and invite you, if you have never received Jesus as Lord and Savior, to know that the scripture says he provides new life for us, grace and mercy. Walk new in him. Receive that gift today. I would love to share with you how you can do so. I'll be right down front in a few moments. You come and I'll share it with you. Second, I would encourage us, the next wise step to take would be this. Don't be passive. Laziness is always passive. It's letting things happen that are going to happen. Be active in your walk with Christ. Be active in your time in God's word. Be active in your prayer life. Be active in allowing and inviting the Holy Spirit to move in your life. Third, the wise step would be check for weeds. Do the very things we talked about here. Remove the hindrances to the Holy Spirit. This is not a theory. It's practical. You're going to have to work at it for it to happen. And then repair the walls. Use this put off, put on sheet to repair the walls of what God wants to do and keep in place in your life. And then simply ask yourself, where do you struggle? That very question you started with. When you prayed to the Lord and you asked, Father, show me if there's an area of neglect in my life, what did he say to you? How did the Spirit prompt you this morning? If you're struggling with some neglect in the workplace, today's a day to repent. Maybe get on your knees for a moment and say, Father, I want my testimony to be true in the workplace, so I don't want to neglect how I live for you there, my work ethic, the time I spend that I'm supposed to be working, that I'll spend it for you. I'll make that commitment for your kingdom's sake. Maybe for you, you realize that the area of neglect was with the spouse and how you have maybe not served or treated them as the Lord would have you to. I would encourage you that you don't need to necessarily come down here and pray. You can, but I would encourage you, if your spouse is here, take him by the hand and just say, I don't want to neglect you at all, and I will make sure that I work hard by the power of the Holy Spirit in my life that I honor you and serve you the way I need to. Maybe for you, it has to do with your children. It has to do with decisions, discipline, circumstance, whatever the case may be. If you've been neglecting in that area, would you come and pray about that for a few moments? Maybe it's your personal walk with the Lord. Maybe it's serving in some capacity in the faith family. I don't know, but I suspect it's different for all of us. And so I know in my life that the Holy Spirit has revealed some areas of neglect in me. And so some you would know about and see very easily, and others that would just be private with me and the Lord. And so I want to be able to stop and to say to God, my desire is not to be considered a sluggard from your word. Though I may have a strong work ethic in this way, and I may be highly motivated in this way, Father, I know in this one area I struggle. And so, Lord, help me to be transformed by your power, that I could repair the broken walls, that I could be careful to tend the garden, and that I will let the soil of my life produce what you want it to in me. That's going to be my prayer. I hope it will be yours as well. Would you pray with me? Your heads bowed and eyes closed. What about you? I ask you to bow your heads just for privacy, just so you can have a moment alone. What about you? Is there any area of your life that you find some neglect? If that is the case, would you simply make repentance with the Lord and a renewed commitment? Ask him to help you with it. Develop a plan. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you in what you should do and how you should do it. Maybe also for others, it's simply that you're saying, I just don't know that I even have that relationship with the Lord. Friend, you don't have to leave here doubting that. Would you come? I'd love to share with you. Whatever God is saying today to you, if you need to come and pray, this front area we call the altar, there's nothing more magical about these steps here than the back of the room, but it's a place that we can publicly come and get on our knees before the Lord and man and say, Father, I want you to do a work in my life. You can come and pray. Someone will come and pray with you. Maybe for you, you want to unite with this church. Maybe you want to follow through with believers' baptism just like Clay and Amanda did. Listen, hundreds and hundreds of people have done that over the past 134 years of this church's history. And we pray that many, many more will until the day that Jesus comes back. Father God, have your way among us. Remove any hint of laziness within our lives that we might honor you. Lord, this is not just a tip or technique to make us feel a little better about ourselves. My prayer is that you'll use this by the power of your Holy Spirit to transform us and make us more into your image, that we can protect our lives from what the evil one would like to see infiltrate and move in. So Father, I pray you transform marriages. I pray you transform families. I pray you transform individuals. I pray you would transform Sunday school classes and our faith family as a whole, Father. May we be obedient to you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing "Just As I Am."